Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Father, we just thank you that we're a community. Lord, that our heart is for our brothers and sisters next to us, Lord, to receive what you have for them tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will be faithful to your word. God, that it does not return void. Yeah, and we just say, Holy Spirit, will you come and do a work in our hearts that sets us up to succeed? As a good father, you call, but you also provide. Father, thank you that you orchestrate what you originate, God, and you want us to stay in a place of rest before you, sitting at your feet, Lord, waiting that you would do everything, God, that you have promised you would do, Father. And so we just say thank you. Thank you that you don't leave us where we are. Thank you that you draw us closer to you, Jesus. Amen. So I had the choice of either doing slides, making slides, or spending time with my son. And so I chose spending time with my son. Seeing though the message tonight is From a Place of Rest, that's my title. I was struggling between From a Place of Rest or The Gift of Being Present. Okay, The Gift of Being Present. What is that called? It's like double bam. It's a gift to be present in a moment. It doesn't come naturally to us when we have so many things demanding our attention. And So I just wanted tonight to share a little bit of my story around moving from a very kingdom-driven, focused, do everything I need to do individual to a kingdom-driven child of God that sits at the feet and allows God to be who he needs to be. And it didn't come easy. Lo will know I'm a very driven person. My husband is the... My sister said to me, I'm like this rearing horse, ready to go. I'm like, I'm ready. The kingdom has come at all costs. And Stefan's like my chill pill. Okay. He also wants to see the kingdom come in the fullness. I'm so thankful for that. In my 20s, when I was here, I thought, am I ever going to get married? You know, you'd see the people around you getting married. I was 28. I still hadn't met. For me, that was very late. But I later on realized when I met Stefan why, because he's 5 years younger than me. So he was growing up. Do you understand? He's a lot more mature than I am emotionally. But I think if I met him when I was 25 and he was 20, it might not have happened. At least I might die before him. So anyway, be with Jesus. So... I'm reading from so now you have opportunity to read through the word with me in your Bibles. I see their Bibles here, actually, not just phones, which is, Lo's got his phone. Phones are good as well. It's always nice to just copy and paste, you know, into my scripture folder. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'm not a virgin, definitely not. But, sorry, did I just say that? Version, we're reading from the version. And, my heart's beating fast now. Matthew 10, verse 5 says, it's Jesus sending out the 12. I'll give you a moment to get there if you want. He says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you received. Now freely give. Heal the sick. cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I don't know about you, but that could easily spark performance or striving in someone. how to do that. And although we have faith for it, and although I desire to see those things, I'm just going to share a part of my journey with you. I had God take me and it's still a life's long thing, but moving from a place of works into a place of rest. Okay. I read it this morning, but Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the word transformation means a change in state or appearance. So when we go under a transformation, there's actually a difference that people can see in you. There should actually be an acknowledgement where they can go, there's something about that person. You've been in that conversation with someone where you're talking to them, but their eyes are everywhere else. Or I've been in that conversation where I'm so busy, I'm so trying to focus on what's the next thing I need to do, that at the end of the conversation, I thought, they've just asked me a question. I'm like, shucks, what was the question about? What's the context of that question? You know, where does it come from? And, you know, that place where God transforms us is something where you're not seen as a busy, you're seen as driven, but you're not seen as busy, right? Because there's nothing wrong with being driven. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see the kingdom come, wanting to see lives changed, God glorified and all those things. But it needs to come from a place of rest. And it says renew your mind. So I looked up the word renew, and renew is, you renew something to its original state. So to me, that, like I said, again, excuse the people that were here this morning. Who all was here this morning? Not too many people. Great. Okay, so for me, the original state is the Garden of Eden. Okay, I look and I think, what was our original state? What happened there? People, Adam and Eve, were at rest in the presence of God. They were okay in his presence alone. And although I'd been a Christian for so long, I got saved when I was 19. About 3 years ago, I was worshiping one morning, and I thought about that scripture in Revelations that says, holy, you know, when they bow down, 24/7, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And this is what they did. This is what we're going to do. And I was a little bit like concerned as to my thought process around that. Because to me, that sounded like work. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm being very honest. I'm being very vulnerable before you. And I had to ask myself the question. I had to assess to go, there's something that I'm missing. There's obviously something beautiful in being able to be in the presence of God constantly, bowing down, going, holy, holy, holy. And that started a journey where, as Lo said, I worked for Deloitte for a couple of years, and I mean, Big Four, 12 hours a day, go, 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 ministry on the side, to getting married. And my husband said, I've always had a heart for ministry. God called me in 2006 in my private room. I was later confirmed through many prophecies, and I was always waiting for this to come to pass, really. I was working at Deloitte because I had to until I got married. no, just joking. I enjoyed the work, but it was always, you know, you don't want to start something, you don't want to enter into a promise or a calling until it's the right time, because then you're going to have to maintain it, what you're doing. And my husband said to me, Lauren, I want to release you to pursue ministry. And I always knew ministry to me wasn't a paying job at the church office. And I had these dreams about flying around the world and writing books. And so I resigned we got married, went on a long honeymoon, and I decided to start going into full-time ministry. And after a month, I was going, God, why am I not getting invited anywhere to speak? Where are the books? And, I mean, that's exactly what my response was. You know, I was like, hello. Do you know what God's response was? He said, for the first year, I want you to serve your husband, and I want you to learn to be okay in my presence. Sure, not what I thought I had in mind. And, you know, it wasn't as easy as that. I knew what I was called for. My husband at that stage, funny enough, every guy that had come across my path in my 20s, God would show me what he's called for. Then I'd speak into it, and I'd bless, and I'd pray. And then he'd find his wife a month later, you know. And then I'm like, can I have my own one, please? And then my husband came along. I didn't know what God would not show me what he's called for. But I was so in love with his character. I was so in love with his heart of surrender, his desire for the kingdom first. That I was like, where you go, I go. And, well, he didn't know that at the time, but it was in my head. And we actually went on this. Hello, Lawson. How's it going? Good to see you. We went on this mission trip, and, well, he was going on this mission trip to Rwanda. And he came to, and we were purely friends at the time, didn't actually even know him that well. And he said to me, Lauren, why are you not going to Rwanda on missions? And at that stage, I somehow knew that if I was going to go, they were going to ask me to co-lead. And I said to him, like, if I go, I'll take a back seat. You know, I don't feel like I was new in Joburg. I didn't want to be this, you know, leader woman. I wanted to find a husband, you know, so I wanted to be less of myself. And, well, I thought I did. And his response to me was, Lauren, you need to go. You're not a backseat kind of girl. And I was like, I am going to marry you. And, you know, and Lo knows my husband is my greatest encourager. And I had such a fear of being my wings being clipped and having to be someone that I'm not. And God, the funny thing is that he just desired a wife that would be present and at home with his children. And at that stage, when he met me, I was working 12 hours a day, becoming the next director at Deloitte. And the funny thing is, I'm the wife at home with the children. But he asked me in faith, and he fell in love with also my heart for Jesus and just lots of things. This isn't a marriage seminar. But why I'm telling you that story is because... Okay, so after this be at home... I realized it wasn't that easy. He would come home and he would have these business trips planned to Mauritius and talk to me about these strategic meetings. And I just wanted to give my input. You know, I was like, oh, but you should try this and that. And, you know, he's like, and how was your day? And I was like, well, I had 2 hours quiet time today. And then I went to the gym, you know, and that was my day. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I went to this place and I preached and 10,000 people got saved, and, you know, and God was dealing with something so deep in my heart. He was really asking me, am I okay with him alone? Because I felt so much confidence in what my contribution was and what my gift was. And I had this opportunity to, I'm going to get back to that scripture just now, by the way, the sending out the 12. I had this opportunity to go to Brazil. I don't know if you know Heidi Baker. She has a missions training school. And one night at the school, I heard God saying to me, Lauren, a big part of your relationship with me is driven by when I'm going to release you into your platform. And I wanted to be driven by you desiring to glorify my name. And I was like, sure. I was like, Lord, is that in my heart? You know? Because it was noble. You know, I was gonna preach and I was gonna write books and I was going to do these great things for God, but he was wanting to teach me and he was wanting to show me that this type of call that is for all of us cannot happen through our contribution or striving or performance. Because we will not be able to raise the dead. It has to come from a place of rest. It has to come from a place of knowing that in him and through him and what he has already done on the cross is available for us. And so we can just sit and wait and be. And, you know, so he then took me to, and in the beginning of that year, it was literally 2-3 weeks before that, my husband, we always have communion together in Stillby on the 1st of January, and we hear from God separately for the year, and then we come together and we pray, and sometimes I get a word for him, sometimes I don't, sometimes him for me. And but that year he said he felt God was going to do a work in my heart regarding gentleness. Excuse me, I am gentle, you know. And I just knew, my husband doesn't often get it wrong, so I was like, Lord, what are you? And I just searched scriptures around being gentle. I am like Mariette. Who knows Mariette? Okay, we know her. We're not the same, okay? We're both loud and stuff, but we're not the same person. But we can't be less than ourselves. We can't be, you know, and God doesn't want us to be. God doesn't want the extroverts to be introverts and the introverts to be extroverts or whatever it might be. He wants you to be who he's created you to be. But he also wants us to become more like Christ in whatever it is that our nature. And so searching through scriptures around being gentle, I came across Matthew 11:28. Where Jesus says, come to me, all you who... Sorry, is anyone doing timing? Okay, just go. Okay, great. Thanks. CS did say to me, just go for it. But he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That gentle is meek. Meek is power under perfect control. It's not boasting in my contribution or my gift and what I'm able to add to the table, but it's knowing who I'm in relationship with and what he wants to do through me, and being sensitive to the moment, the gift of being present, being sensitive in that moment to what he needs to do and what he wants to do. Because often we can run ahead of God. We can think, oh, well, there's a need, so he must do this. It's like we've got these folders, you know. I've got this list of prayers. You know, this is your need, so this prayer will work. God doesn't work like that. God gives us his full attention. He says, I'm here. What do you need? I'm here for you. And he wants us to reflect that to the world as well. And I was more comfortable in front of the crowd than I was comfortable in front of the person. And so God kept on speaking to me through the scripture, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, you will find rest for your souls, not your spirit or your flesh. It's not you will drink pina coladas on Mauritius beach. You will find rest for your soul. Your soul is your will, your intellect, your emotions. So he says, when you come to me, when you come and be with me. How many times did Moses separate himself to be with God? You can find rest in that moment. Because so often we only go to God and we go into his presence when there's a need. And what he was saying is, I want my presence and you being with me and being present in the moment and rest as your base. I want that to be the foundation from which you go from. Because then you will know that I have your back. Then you will know that when you pray for the sick, it's not about you striving or trying to make something happen. Jesus has already done what he needs to do, and you just being a vessel to pass it on. And so I learned in that time where, I mean, before I fell pregnant with our son, about, we're only married for 10 months, and then I was just like, let's go for it, you know, got to populate the earth. But that was one thing he had to put up with, marrying an older woman, you know. I was like, I'm ready. He's already talking about the third child, though, which is quite funny. Like, he's the one that actually, he loves being a dad. But what God was teaching me about rest, because being busy, and even busy with the things of God, will constantly war against your awareness of God. And you don't know when that moment is that someone's going to come into your life and they're going to give you a scripture that's going to change the course of your future. Or that moment where you meet someone who introduces you to someone who might be your wife or your husband. And it's a gift to be present. It's a gift to, especially in the prophetic, okay? The prophetic always lives there. I know where we're going. I know what God wants to do. And so, you know, and we treat people like that as well. We see the potential upon their lives and we start treating them with where they're at now according to what they are going to be. That's not grace. We need to be real with them for now and where they are now. And so God, in that time, would set me up in many situations where I had to stop for the one. I remember having him just one day saying, I want you to go and have quiet time at Woolworths. Why don't you go and have coffee and quiet time in Woolworths when I can have it in my peaceful home and sing as loud as I want? Okay, so I go. And faithfully, these two ladies are sitting next to me and they're talking about some sun gods and things. And my heart starts bleeding for them. And I realize the deception and I realize God wants me to say something. Do you know often that when God wants to give a prophetic word to someone, he's not going to plant it in your heart, the fullness of the word, before you necessarily go to the person. So often we want to know what exactly the word is. Tell me, show me the vision, give me the interpretation, and then I'll go. It doesn't work like that with me. Often I'll go up to someone, I'll go, hi, Stefan, I have no idea what I'm going to say to you right now, but I know God wants to meet with you. I don't say that to them because it's going to freak them out. But, you know, although I knew what God wanted to do, I still paid for my bill, got up, went to the toilet, and walked to the car. Well, I was about to pay for my ticket, and God was like, I want you to stop for the one. And I went back, and there were two ladies, and there was a specific lady that I knew that the Lord wanted to give a word for. And I just said to them, I'd just like to share something with you. And the lady that I wanted to share it with said, yeah, you can talk to my friend. I'm just going to go while I go to the toilet. It's like, well, actually, I want to talk to you. And I just shared. I don't even know what I shared. But she had these tears coming down her face. And, you know, and I was like, sure, God, you're faithful. That's cool. And it happened over and over. And you see, when God calls us, when God places something, a dream and a desire on your life, to see whether it's in business, okay? I can tell you full-time ministry is not better than full-time business ministry, okay? You don't need to feel guilty if God has called you to be the best engineer or teacher or lawyer or doctor. Go with what God has called you for. Don't try and be any less than that, okay? But he doesn't just place this burning desire in your heart and then go, cheers. He sets you up to succeed. And so there's often a waiting time, there's a waiting period where he will give you and he will equip you with certain things so that when the time comes to really start stepping into that, it's not from a place of striving, but it's from a place of rest. And so what God was really doing in my heart was he was teaching me to be present so that my calling was no longer preaching and teaching and writing books. It was about glorifying him in every moment. And sometimes that moment is a friend of mine who shares with me that she's been praying for her friend's child that's sick and this child's not getting healed. And in that moment, God's calling me to go to her house and just love upon her and say, it's okay. Come, let's pray through this together. It's about being. And God was, I always knew, I never knew how it would work. And I think it's still quite funny that I'm preaching right now at 30 weeks pregnant, because it's actually quite an inconvenient time with a toddler and having 4 hours sleep because my son's eye teeth are coming out. But God knows I'm not going to rely on my own strength. He knows that he can give us certain things in the time that's right. But by teaching me to be present, he was saying, Lauren, will you desire the kingdom to come in your home, in your children, as much as you'll desire it out there? And that means that I can be intimate and I can be present with my husband and I can serve in the fullness as much as I can serve when I'm standing in front of a crowd or whatever the opportunity might be. And I just had a desire that wherever I go and wherever I, every opportunity is an opportunity to bring the presence of God, to have that base of ministering to him and being filled by him and going out and seeing the kingdom come and seeing these miracles happen from a place of rest and not from a place of what I was able to contribute. And someone once said, we don't expand our awareness of God's presence through striving. We enlarge our awareness of God through rest. Faith is not the result of effort. Faith is the fruit of rest and surrender. Rest in knowing that what God has originated, he will orchestrate. He brings to completion what he has started. And so going back to the disciples where Jesus gives them this massive command and, you know, well, it's this invitation to be the hands of feet and feet of Jesus with not a go and hand out, you know, bread or, I mean, those are very important things as well. But these were tasks, you know, heal the sick, cast out demons that really required faith. He first says to them, he's given this command and then he leaves and he says, and being assembled together, this is Acts 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Like, how awesome is that? God says to them, I give you this command. I give you this desire and dream, but wait. Wait with me. Sit with me. Be there. I will give you everything that is needed for the task that I have given you. He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so in my student years, I saw miracles. Like, I prayed for people, not many, but there was like one or two occasions, you know, where it was a true healing. But when I was worshiping that night and I had that thought about holy, 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 I realized what God was doing is he was saying to me, I want you to grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit 3 weeks after I got saved. I knew about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I'd grown in my relationship with the Father. I'd grown in my relationship with Jesus, but my relationship with the Holy Spirit wasn't what it was. You know, the idea of the Holy Spirit will come in like a mighty rushing wind, where God was inviting me to say, like Ezekiel, don't stand on the edge of the river. Come, you knee deep, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. Dive into the river. And that river is the Holy Spirit. It's I want you to immerse yourself fully in my spirit who guides you and leads you. And so God started taking me into the unknown. He started showing me things and asking me to do things that required for me to really trust in the Holy Spirit so much more. Really be at a place of complete dependence. And I sort of said, well, God, how? You know, what does that look like? And because I wasn't willing to just be mediocre. I wasn't willing to just find confidence in I know how to preach or I know what to do. But I wanted to reflect Jesus in whatever moment it required. And he just took me to that Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. And so he showed me that when I get into a moment, when I get into a crowd, or if it's church, outside of church, wherever it might be, maybe be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because do you know that God is always ready to move? He's always ready to prophesy, give words of knowledge, heal, deliver. But it's really how sensitive are we to what he's saying? And it's not this spooky thing, you know, I'm walking in and I'm going, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing? Okay, come show me. It's just, I am who I am. Oh, okay, there's a lady in the gray jacket. She's highlighted. Not quite sure why she's highlighted, but I'm just going to take note of that. Okay, God, come, I'm here. What do you want to do? Do you want to say something to her? It's a conversation that you have with God. It's not, the prophetic is not spooky, freaky, weird flag woman, you know, tambourines. That's a part of it. There's a beautiful outflow of that. But it's really just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I used to say, I don't pray for healing. That's not my gift. I can prophesy, but I'm not going to pray for healing. Do you know that all God had me do was pray for healing? At every opportunity, I would see people and I would see them in like a knee guard. I'm like, no, you know, I'm not going to. And he was just saying to me, you can't marry the supernatural in the gift that you're confident in. You need to see the supernatural in every aspect of who I am. And so these people started getting like healed that I prayed for. And I was just so humbled. Because God was like, it's not about your contribution, Lauren. It's not what you find confidence in, what people have prophesied. You know, some people, they go, you're really good at this, and that's all you hear. And it's like, that's cool. But what else? And so God was just showing me that there's a place of rest. There's a place of him doing what he needs to do wherever and however, as long as I am sensitive and available to him. We can go to Acts 3, and I'm going to finish off with this. I wanted the message to be not that long tonight, because I really believe God wants to come and do some things in the ministry afterwards. But you can imagine how the disciples had walked with Jesus. That was their account. They'd seen him do the miracles. They'd seen him. Their testimony was real, and it was their account because it was happening right in front of their eyes. What's our account? Our testimony is very closely linked to the dependency that we have on the Holy Spirit, because the word says that the Holy Spirit points towards Jesus. And so if you are hungry to see miracles, if you are hungry to see a life that, your life to count for something, if you want your life where God was saying, Lauren, I want your life to not be just, you know, preaching and teaching. I want you to glorify me in everything that you do. Then I want to encourage you to ask, to pray for an increase of your hunger for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and so I just, yeah, like I said, I've I just want to finish off with this scripture in Acts 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Sorry, I have to. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. How awesome. When miracles aren't just impacted by the person that's receiving the miracle, but the people around them are going, "Wow, we know that guy. That was impossible." Don't you feel like we're sitting in our country at the moment and you're feeling a little bit impossible? God is not confused. God is in control. He's good. And it's so cool, that word that came about hope. Because we have a choice to see our circumstances and see the situation and the state around us from a place of destitute. You know, it's like it's destitute. It's there's fear. There's just an ungodly control. Or we can stay in a place of rest, knowing that God is good. But when we know that He is good, then we also need to start praying that into being. We need to start releasing His goodness into a situation and stay in that place of hope. That's on the side. Let's go back to the scripture. And Peter and John, Peter and John had received this instruction of heal the sick, raise the dead. They'd then gone to Jerusalem and they're waiting and they'd received the power of the Holy Spirit. And then do you see what happened here? This guy thinks all he needs is money. He's lame and he's like, "If I can just get a penny a day to buy something, I'll be okay." But Peter sees him. Peter's not so busy at getting to the temple. He's sensitive to the Holy Spirit to see him. And he says, "Gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." What did he give him? The power of the Holy Spirit. And this miracle takes place. You see, God doesn't just give us what we think people need or what we need. He gives us so much more. Because God isn't just going to meet the instant need. He wants to set this guy up for success, to not only glorify his name in the miracle, but he loves this guy so much that he wants him to be able to work so that he can earn his own money that he no longer needs to beg. And that's the goodness of God. That's the type of heart of God that we get, that gets imparted to us when we are able to stop and rest and be in his presence. Because God showed me more about his heart in this time of just being, of just sitting at home, than he did in the years of ministry, in the years of so much more. Because I was able to stop and minister to him. I was able to be and receive the fullness of who he is. And so as the band comes up, are they already up? No? Okay. God, Jesus has already done it. Okay, Jesus has finished the work. When he died on the cross, the veil was torn that we could access the presence of God. So we could access everything that is in heaven, everything that is available, that was available to Jesus is available to us. We don't need to try and make something happen. And when you start living from that place, when you start living from a place of all I need to do is be obedient, all I need to do is be sensitive, then you start seeing the environment around you change. You're not so overcome by the situation and the lack and the hurt and the you have compassion for it, but you can start influencing your environment. You can start accessing that power of the Holy Spirit to see beyond what the people in front of you think that they need. Because people are going to come to you and they're going to say, I want prayer for this. And you're going to, do you know what? Actually, you need this. you want prayer for a neck pain. But what burdens are you carrying? Can we just talk about, let's talk about that. Sure, my dad just died and financially the burden's upon me. And oh, okay. So it's not just a neck pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can start seeing and being sensitive to give so much more than what God wants to give. And so I am at that time when I was at Heidi Baker, I at the same time that God was speaking to me about this, what I've just shared with you, I also saw a picture of him taking me to the cross, or taking me to a cross. And I was kicking against it. In this vision, I was just like, I don't want to go. I don't want to die. And as this picture that he was just showing me, as I died, there was just this rest and this peace that came over me. Because God was just saying, I don't want you to struggle in striving and performance and trying to make things happen. I want you to live as a daughter. I want you to live out of the freedom and the fullness of what I've given you. Because when we start seeing God move around us, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than seeing a life changed. So we can stand. I want to invite just a few groups of people to the front. I have spoken to my parents and I've got their blessing to share a bit of my journey because I believe it will help some of you. But when my mom was pregnant with me, my dad wasn't sure that I was his child. And when I was born, my gran, his mother, had to sort of assure him, no, I am his child. I look like him or whatever it might be. And he left 6 months later and I only saw him again when I was 3. And I struggled with a lot of rejection growing up, and my mom sacrificed her dream. She was a nurse, but she realized nursing wasn't going to pay for 2 young girls for school. And so she started her own business. Praise God. It later on in life, it really took off, but I felt like I owed her my life. And my high school was about just proving something. first team netball or an A student, whatever it might be, you know that person, I'm sure all of us struggle with that, but performance, we take it into our relationship with God. If you've had to struggle with performance your whole life, and God had been dealing with this with me, he'd been saying, there's nothing that you can contribute that's going to make me love you more. There's nothing that you can add to my kingdom, actually. But it was really in this time where he just said, stop. And I'm sharing this with you because it's not becoming apathetic. It's not about not pursuing the kingdom. It's not about not serving or not giving of yourself. But it's about from a place of rest as a daughter or a son. And yeah, and so I really want to invite you forward that if you struggle in your mind even to be quiet, if you're constantly busy, you're constantly planning the next thing, you know that at 12 o'clock tomorrow this is going to happen and I need to study the... I remember when I was studying, I had a accounting exam on the Friday night and I had my chapters planned out. You know that hour by hour? Like I'm going to do this chapter then and then I've got a tea break for 10 minutes and then... And God said to me, I want you to go to Foundations 1. I want you to take this person with you. And I was like, that's not going to work because if I take that person, that's a whole 4 hours out of my schedule of you know, of studying. And long story short, I took this girl and she got saved and spirit-filled. But there was... It was just so normal for me to be in control. It was so normal for me to strive and perform and have everything in order and structured. And so I want to invite you tonight, if you want to say, Lord, I want to lay that down before you. I want to come and I don't want to change who I am. I want to be driven. I want to see the kingdom come, but I want it to be from a place of rest. You need to enter into rest tonight. I want you to come forward. Rest in your mind, in your emotions. Some people here tonight, you're in emotional turmoil. And you're struggling with certain things in your life and you are so overcome because of rejection or whatever, or you're just not good enough, or you're not receiving approval. God is saying, come and be with me. Come and rest in my presence. Come and receive from me. Or maybe tonight you also have a very clear vision of what your life is going to turn out to be. Because God has actually told you. And that's fine. But you need to lay down that dream. You need to lay down your plans of how it's going to happen. Because if you have the full picture, if you know how everything's going to work out and you say, well, this is my calling, you're always going to limit God. Because he wants to take you so much more. He wants to take you to greater heights. But when you get there and when he does give you the platform, you're not going to be able to take the glory for it because you know it's not about your contribution or your gift. It's about staying with him and resting in him and just being, allowing the Holy Spirit that rests upon you to influence your environment, influence the people around you.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.